Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. Yay! I'm Michelle Berquist, your host this morning for Women Leading the Way Radio, and our leading lady today is Top Secret. I just want to share with all of our listeners this morning, we have a very unique topic, and we have a very unique woman that is our guest this morning that I want to introduce everyone to, Lisa. So, Lisa, are you with me this morning?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. And I wanted to tell all of our listeners that we're saying, quote, Lisa this morning because you're kind of under wraps, as I want to share what the kind of focus of our show is this morning, and that is you are actually an executive assistant to a very high-powered CEO. And so just on the idea of some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning and how you help this busy CEO stay productive, help him gain results from what his role is, and just some of the nuances of the job, we wanted to kind of keep your demeanor protected. Is that's correct this morning, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Okay, so anyway, you're Lisa to us this morning, and I'm really excited about this show because, you know, in my mind, as a small business owner, one of the hardest things I think for us as women to do is to start to bring in the quote-unquote assistant. And, you know, we all know how great assistants can either be successfully to a busy executive or a busy CEO or owner, but I've also seen, and Lisa, this is the part where it's like we'll get into some conversation on this, is how difficult this relationship can also be if it doesn't go well. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you on the show this morning is for you to share, you know, really kind of the real scoop on what makes your relationship with your CEO so successful. And so if I can start with a question, because I know you were brought on, you're fairly new into the role, is that correct, as an executive assistant
for
CEO? So help me understand, it's like, you know, was this, tell me a little bit about your day-to-day duties. I mean, what are some of the things you do all day long for the CEO?
Sure. So I would say that this is a very detail-oriented position. You have to be extremely organized. It's very fast-paced. There's tons of projects and things going on at all times. You know, if you put something wrong into the calendar, that's your fault. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you to get everything right the first time. So what I do is my duties have grown since I've been there. So I do daily tasks such as opening up mail, filtering email, scheduling, things like that for my boss as well as myself. And then I also have now grown to be working on much larger projects, that are company-wide. So tons of research involved for me, not only day-to-day tasks to help support my boss, which if I was there, he would not be able to focus on all the bigger projects that he needs to. Sometimes I feel like I need an executive assistant for all the stuff I do. So a lot of it is helping him make sure everything is kind of in order so that the small everyday tasks are out of his hands and into mine so that he can focus on bigger projects. And
Let me ask you a question, and forgive me because I interrupt all over the place, but I want to get into what you said. You know, like day one on the job, it's like how was it that your duties and responsibilities were described to you? I mean, was it organized? Was there a list of here's what I want you to do on a daily basis? Or how did this CEO explain to you here's the job duties?
It's interesting because it's very organized in some ways and then also very not in the others, meaning I just have to kind of figure it out as I go. So the first day on the job, I actually sat down with my boss for about 2 hours, and he kind of ran through all the basics. This is my email. This is how I filter it. And I thought the way that he did email was really interesting to me, although I'm sure many people do it like this, and I just had never thought about it before, which is dividing everything into folders so that at the end of the day, your inbox is completely clean and clear. There's nothing in there. So he explained to me what I needed to do with his email is filter every single one of his emails. He has two email addresses, so I have to do this two different times, well, for two different email addresses for multiple times a day, and it's moving things to certain categories, which I thought was a little neurotic at first, but now I do it in my personal email. So I would move things like, he should read, he needs to respond to this, this is a mailing list, this is a receipt, this is something for marketing, you know, this is for managers' information. And so so there's multiple different folders that we use, and then that way he doesn't have to go do that. And it's probably 2 hours a day that I'm just doing these emails, filtering through these emails, and that's saving him 2 hours a day for putting that energy towards bigger projects.
So I think that part's fascinating because so many people get junked up with, okay, my assistant, you know, some CEOs will have their assistant reply on their behalf or as their behalf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you reply as his behalf?
Yeah, when needed, I say, you know, hi, this is Lisa. I'm responding on my boss's behalf. Such and such dates will work, or this is where we are on this project, you know, and then I CC him on it so that he knows what's going on. And then I filter that CC'd email that he should read.
Then you have to filter it. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you first started, it's like, you know, was there an executive assistant that was in your role before you took on and got the job?
There was, but it was only a year-old position, and it was still being developed, and that person was not there at the time I was hired to train me. So when we were going through basic training with things like email, he kind of just told me, this is where this goes, this is where this goes, this is where this goes, and I sat and made a Word document of everything in every folder, and I still have that today. Most of it's memorized now. I just know where things go. Because I've done it so much, but yeah, some things come through still, and I don't know what to do with them. So I ask him, and then I put it on my list. So yeah, I didn't get much training aside from him telling me what his preferences are. I didn't get training from the last person. I actually had to put two different executive assistant manuals together on my first week. I had to mix the two to one big one, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what my job is yet. I don't know half the things in here, but I'm going to give it a try.
Well, you know, and we've had this conversation kind of behind closed doors when we were talking about the radio show. So I'm kind of curious. It's like, you know, from the standpoint of what he shared, so when he's first describing the duties to you, was everything, you know, like what was the role where he provided to you? It sounds like to me, like he was telling you and you were the one that writes everything down. I mean, I'm looking at the difference even between men and women. And women, you know, will want to do it and then delegate it. And I look at men, they just tell you. I mean, was there anything that he was writing down or he had shared with you when you first started? Or was it all, hey, you know, you got to make all this up, Lisa? I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, mostly it was me making it up. So as we went along, there's different things that the old assistant had never done before, and he kind of goes, okay, I want you to do this project, excuse me, and then I want you to put it in the manual for yourself. So I kind of am learning how to do this thing and then describing it word for word, kind of dummy-proof so that if anyone else needed to take over that, either my position someday or if I was out and someone needed to do that duty, then they would be able to just look at my manual and do it. So as far as some things he's very particular with, as in, let's say, when we run reports throughout the company once a month, I run these reports, but the first time I did it, he showed me on his computer exactly what to do. And as pretty much this is how it goes. As he's teaching me, I'm frantically writing notes on my computer. And then I go back after our meeting, organize it in a way that makes sense to me, and then explain it even in further detail so that if anyone else needed to do it or if I needed to do it the next month, you know, that I could do it without asking him. How?
When there's a new task or something like that as a project, how many times, you know, what's the relationship like when you have to go back and go, hey, I need you to explain this to me a little bit more, if that ever happens? Is he pretty open
to that, or,
okay, so he wants you to ask questions and...
Yeah, that does happen. He oftentimes, while explaining, you know, does this make sense? Do you have any questions on this part? And sometimes I'll think I get it, and my notes are just all over the place because it's so fast. Sometimes I'll say, can you repeat that one again? Can you slow down? Other times I'll go back to my notes outside of our meeting and realize, you know, I'm not too confident on this part. Let me just wait on this project and ask him at our next meeting to be sure. So he's very... very lenient with that to an extent. You know, I need to make sure I get it, but he's not opposed to me coming back and clarifying things because, of course, he wants it done the right way also.
And how much does he check your work? I mean, I'm kind of curious. So from the role, you know, and again, I want to get into a little bit of the differences between men and women is, you know, with him, it's like, do you find that he is looking at your work before it gets submitted? Is there just a huge trust factor and you're like left to kind of go get it done? Or what's the role like of him looking at your work before it's ever submitted or final?
There's a huge trust factor. A lot of my projects are researching different either companies or certain, you know, phone systems or something like that or IT support. So I gather a ton of information and for weeks, you know, and then I bring it to him and basically say, here are the companies that I think will work for you, here are the products that I think will work for you and why. And if I tell him, he trusts me a lot. If I tell him, you know, this company, I don't think it's going to work well for you and here's the reason why, or I don't feel comfortable with them because of, then he won't go with them. So I have a huge say in what happens with our company, and he trusts what I'm saying to him, too.
And then, so let me ask you this question, because I think this is what's hard, is, you know, you get small business owners or owners, so if you're out there and you're looking for, let's say, another vendor relationship, right, you're looking for a new phone system, it's like, do you just fly blind, or does he say, hey, recommend these different companies and go get details on a quote on them? I mean, do you just go and have to research everything on the internet, or does he give you some guidance as these are the kind of companies I think, you know, we want to talk to, and then you get some help or assistance, or is it just fly blind and bring back three things to me of quotes?
A lot of it is fly blind, surprisingly. I would say 80% of it is him giving me a project and me thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? I have no background on this. And then I just dive right into it and research so much front and back, you know, to the point where I know the ins and outs of whatever I'm researching now, and I'm an expert on it. And then I bring all that back to him. 20% of the time he'll say, you know, someone that I know recommended this person or this company, why don't you check them out as well? But no matter what he tells me for that recommending, I always look for other options to compare. And I think he really likes that. So, yeah, it's mostly me just going out there and doing it all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you do, but I'm getting dead into the knickers of stuff. So, you know, you mentioned that the email, you called it filtering email, is one of your big tasks. What are other kind of daily duties besides the mail? I mean, what other things do you do for him on a daily basis? I'm curious. Like, do you run errands? Do you?
Yeah, I run some errands. Like, we FedEx a bunch of things. So I'll run to FedEx. I'll run to the post office and things like that. I'll pick certain things up from our headquarters office and bring them to him. You know, I do run errands like that. I also, one of my duties is to drive him to meetings. So
this one's shocking to me. I'm like laughing at this one, going, "Oh my God, this is what like I need." But please keep sharing, because this one fascinated me.
Yeah. So at first I thought because I had never been this closely related to an executive assistant before. I've been an assistant before this, but nothing, some job duties I got thrown at me, I thought, whoa, I've never done this before. Are you sure? So I drive him to meetings. If meetings are an hour and a half away, I am driving him. And the reason being is so that he can be using that hour, hour and a half both ways to work on business-related projects. So his time is so precious to him that he will pay me to drive him so that he can not have to worry about driving, save that time, and you know, work in the car on his computer or make phone calls, et cetera.
And so you sit and drive. And I'm kind of curious, so from other things that you kind of see, how many times does, you know, do you have, like, new stuff come up that you have no idea that it's been delegated to you and you have to figure it out? I mean, is that kind of 50% of the time, 20% of the time? Because it doesn't sound like the daily duties are what really requires your time. It's these projects that really encompass a lot of your time.
Exactly. It turned out that these projects is what takes up, I'd say, 80% of my time, and or 70, and 20 to 30% of my time is dealing with everyday tasks. But I think it's just projects that he can delegate to someone else and can trust someone else to do, such as finding a new phone system company-wide, you know, finding IT support, finding, like timekeeping, a new timekeeping system company-wide. It's these things that need to be implemented, but he doesn't really need to waste his time on it because he can trust someone else to do this, you know, instead of him.
And then, so I'm going to
answer your question. I feel like I got a little off track.
No, it's all good, because it's like, I think, you know, again, I want our listeners to hear just the sense of so many, and this is, again, for me to share, is like so many of our listeners are women owners, you know, are women professionals that are executives that, you know, I hear all the time from busy executives that either the assistant / executive assistant role can work really well, or it tanks miserably. And I want to, because, you know, you shared with me how great your relationship is with your CEO. And I guess here's my next question. What is it that you feel about your relationship that makes, I mean, what are the key things that make your relationship work so well? Because you've shared how great this relationship is. You feel you're productive for him. I've also heard on the other side from women CEOs and owners who say, I've had a horrible experience. And when it doesn't go right, it's miserable, you know, for the company, for the professional or the executive. What makes yours work so well with the relationship you have with the CEO?
Well, my relationship with the CEO has been the best one that he's had thus far. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but this is what he tells me. He went through, I think, three other executive assistants in a year before he kind of settled on me and thought, okay, this is working. So I guess my advice to other executive level women or men who are thinking about maybe I should, but I don't want the hassle, I would say don't give up and just keep looking, because you just, it's such a close relationship, an executive assistant to a CEO or another executive, that you really have to mesh well. You have to find a way to make things work for you. For us, communication is key. He's very meticulous when he's explaining certain things to me, but also, so that's pretty much what I think is communication and being open and honest about things. If I did something wrong, he's going to let me know. He's not going to avoid it or harbor it or anything like that. He will say, you know, this report doesn't look right. Something is wrong. Can you go back and do it? But he's very respectful, and I think what makes our relationship great, as I can see it, is that he's oftentimes telling me, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing here. You're doing a great job. He encourages me and notices my good work. So I think that's the best, as well as communication and making sure we're on the same playing field. So he's hyper organized. When I first started working for him, I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can handle this. But And I think I'm an organized person too. And again, back to the email where I thought, oh, this is a little bit weird. Or with, I was telling you before, getting a little, slightly off track here, but with the phones, he doesn't have a direct phone line to himself. You know, there's just a little different things that I thought, this is going to be hard to communicate with you, but it isn't, and you just kind of have to figure out what works best for you.
I hope it's hard to pinpoint one thing. Yeah, I think, you know, this is for the benefit of our listeners, Lisa. So it's like, you know, from those, like, things that you feel, and I want you to toot your own horn, because I think this is a really special relationship, and, you know, there's a huge, would you agree, there's a huge amount of trust that's involved here, because you see things I know are probably very vulnerable to the CEO, mm-hmm. that, you know, how did that trust get developed? I mean, because it doesn't happen overnight. So what do you feel are the things that you did? I mean, did you just immediately step in and say, I can handle that, or did he just, you know, start giving you a bunch of stuff and he tested the waters with you?
I think he gave me an appropriate amount of things and just slowly gave me bigger projects and projects that, put it, it would be sort of devastating or kind of ruin the monthly progress if I ruined it. So there's a lot of responsibility that he gives me. He gave me a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. But I also, once I felt a little bit more comfortable there, maybe 3-4 months in, I specifically asked, you know, can I be in charge of bigger projects? Can I, you know, check out the hiring aspect of the company? Can I learn more about this part of the company? I kind of took an initiative and wanted to learn the ins and outs of the whole company, not just my relationship one-on-one with him. So I kind of mm-hmm. took the reins there and asked for more. And he gave it to
cool.
me. And he just continues to give me bigger and bigger projects now. So.
And I'm curious, yeah. So where do you want to go in the company? I mean, are you looking to stay as an executive assistant, or do you have kind of career aspirations, you know, to move up, you know, into higher level positions? And is that possible as an executive assistant to a CEO?
You know, it's kind of like an executive assistant is its own position on an island, is how I think of it. There's not really much room to move up into a new position. You can get a raise or get more perks or get bigger projects that are more fulfilling to you. But as far as going from an executive assistant and moving up, it's kind of capped. That is the top of that position. You can go sideways in a company, horizontally to an area like HR or a manager or something, you know what I'm saying? But it's very different than an executive assistant position.
And do you see yourself moving outside of or laterally outside of an executive assistant position into a you know, maybe more of a traditional company role within the organization? Or do you see yourself staying as a executive assistant for quite a while?
I hope to move out of the executive assistant position just because I feel like at one point, I'm not there yet, I'm definitely not there yet, but at some point it's kind of, I would assume that I'd get the feeling like I want to do something different, I want to do something, I want to be able to learn more things. I can learn a ton of things in this executive level position, and I'm constantly doing different things and different projects and learning about many different companies and different, you know, things that would help our company, company-wide. But at some point, I feel like I would want to branch out and do another duty. I would want to have a different role and try something new. But for now,
okay.
I really
no,
enjoy
cool.
this. I'm learning a ton. And, yeah, I don't see myself going anywhere anytime soon, but I also don't – I would assume that I would want to branch out and spread my wings a little bit elsewhere.
Well, let me ask you this, because you keep talking about how communication has been so key for the two of you, and I think that's mm-hmm. fascinating. But when you kind of describe, if there's another executive listening out there, what kind of communication behaviors, because you say it's so critical, really work? Like, I mean, what's most important? Is the fact that you take notes? Is the fact that, you know, you feedback, give him feedback on anything that's been delegated to? I mean, what is kind of like really specific communication things that you feel are really central to the success the two of you have?
For me, it's detailed responses and detailed kind of presentations to him. When I am researching, you know, projects, companies, different things we could use throughout, or even just for him personally, I like to make almost as if it's a presentation. I pretend in my head that's almost like a presentation to him, and I want to make sure it's almost as if I'm selling him on what I think he's going to benefit most from. So I talk to many salespeople and, you know, sales representatives from various companies, and they're kind of selling me on their product, but the ultimate task is selling my boss on the product. So
the salespeople,
you know,
have to kind of build a relationship with
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then I have to sell it to my boss, which is interesting because I never thought that, you know, that would be part of it, but it is a big part of it, you know, selling to him what I think is going to be best and why. So for me, detailed note-taking, being able to get your point across in a respectful way and not a pushy way, because sometimes if you push too hard, they think, well, why do they want that one? I don't know if this is for me, you know. So it's just kind of making sure you're saying things in the right way, making sure you're communicating the right way, whether it's by an Excel graph showing them numbers. You have to figure out what your CEO, how they learn best. Mine is a numbers guy. So doing Excel spreadsheets, those are great for him to see, this is how much this is going to cost you and this is what you're going to get. Lists sometimes work best for people. Other people, they just want to have a conversation and have you say, you know, this is what I think and why, and here's, you know, just verbally telling them. Some people like it written down in a packet. You know, it just really depends on the CEO that you're working with and finding that style that they like to learn and that they like to get information presented to them, I think.
And did you find that he mostly told you that, or did you find that you had to ask to kind of learn through?
No, I just figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was asking my old bosses, and I would just kind of roundtable with people, too, when I first got this job. I have all these projects, and I don't know what to do, and some of my old bosses would say, you know what, you should write this up and type it up all nicely and make sure, you know, it's really detailed, and then print it out and give it to him and just see how he likes that. And if he's responsive to that, then you know that that's a way that he likes. And if he says something, my boss is very open, he would say, oh, you don't need to print that out for me, just shoot me an email. You know, people are very direct, I think, especially CEOs, at least my experience with mine. I'm not saying that he's going to be exactly like every other CEO, but just trying different things. So I would try printing out things, and then I would also try Excel spreadsheets or email updates, things like that. So it's kind of just feeling it out, and I just ask him outright. I say, you know, is this helpful for you? Do you want me to do this in a different way? Would you rather have an Excel spreadsheet with numbers? I'm just very open and forthright and just ask. So
We only have a couple minutes left, so it's like here's my kind of like final couple questions. What is it that's been the most frustrating for you in your relationship? I mean, what hasn't worked? If you can share a couple of things.
Things that have been frustrating are him saying, "I want a new this." Like, let's say I want a new desk phone, but doesn't say anything else. So I'm thinking, okay, I have a million, or let's see, I want you to research a new, you know, IT company that can service us company-wide, but won't give me really a price range, won't give me really what he needs. So that part is frustrating in the sense that I need to kind of fill in a lot of blanks by myself. And sometimes that is frustrating because I bring it to him and he goes, oh, no, ask this, ask this, ask this. Or, you know, and I'm thinking, well, this would have been helpful before.
But then have you learned to go back to him when you do have like that and say, here, I've got some qualifying questions so that you don't have to go out and go down a rabbit hole?
Oh, yes, yes. I learned by error, definitely.
Learned by error. I love that. Learning by error. I'm going to remember that one.
Yeah.
Hey, so well, here's my, was there one other thing? Because I know we only got a couple of minutes left.
Sure.
Any other thing that you've learned the hard way in working with the CEO?
Well, just that everyone makes mistakes. Those monthly reports that I was referring to earlier, the first time I did it absolutely correctly, the second, it's month to month, so I don't do it on a daily basis. And this was before I had written up my own instructions. And so the second month, I completely messed them up, and my boss actually had to go back and fix them. And he came to me and said, you know, I just want to let you know these didn't look right. Here's how you can go around doing it. And I definitely learned that the hard way, is that, you know, that doesn't make me look good. So I'm a little bit more neurotic myself on note-taking and making sure that everything is, especially reports, like running reports with numbers that matter, and graphing them and things like that. So just making sure that you're super detail-oriented.
Love it.
I'm trying to think of another example.
You shared some great stuff. I mean, we've got listeners out there that are women who own businesses, you know, women who are executives. We've got listeners who are looking to bring on assistance, Lisa. So what would be maybe one or two little kind of key things that you would say as kind of advice or suggestions to make that role with your assistant, and if you're a busy executive or a busy owner, to be more effective? Well, you know, I know you mentioned communication, but give us a couple more,
right,
and that'll kind of be our wrap-up, because that's really all the time we've got. So give us a couple of good nuggets here to leave with.
Let's see. I would say, I mean, saying communication is very broad, but I think saying exactly what you want, being very clear when you give them projects, it's so much easier for the executive assistant to get what you want when you tell them all the information that you possibly can. So if you're asking them to research something for you, give them a price range. Give them your top three needs for that service. Give them as much information as you possibly can to have them get back what you want. So they're going to be researching, and they are kind of all over the place unless you give them those little tidbits of information on what you want. That's what I would say is that. And then for me, what's worked best is always knowing that I'm doing a good job. So telling your executive assistant whether they're doing a good job or they're not. Tell them when they need to improve and where. And then also praise them when they do a good job. It's just nice to know that your hard work is being noticed. And So
very
I would
cool.
say be as specific as you can with your executive assistants, and then you'll get better results. Also, if you can afford one and you want one, I'd say get one. An executive assistant is awesome.
You're great. Okay, well, girl, thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for your time today. And for all of our listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this kind of twist on our normal Women Leading the Way radio show, because I have to say I have found so many times, including myself, you know, the role of the assistant and the CEO, or the role of the assistant and the executive, can be such a fabulous relationship, or it can actually just be so stressful and so struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say thank you to you for such great ideas when we first talked about this. And to all of our listeners, we're going to be back again next Monday for more Women Leading the Way radio. So Lisa, thanks for your time. And to all of our listeners, thanks for listening in, and we'll catch you next Monday. So have a great week.
Thanks, Michelle.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.